First Samuel chapter 15. And I do just want to thank you again for your love and your encouragement and the comfort that you have provided to our family in these days since the passing of Gail's mom. And we love you all very much. And I don't know how to say it any different than that. And we appreciate you very much. 1 Samuel chapter 15, and let's read, let's just read the third verse tonight. It's the starting point. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the service tonight. We thank you for the faithfulness of your people to come out on Sunday night and gather and meet with you. We thank you for your presence here with us. Thank you for your faithfulness and for your faithfulness and comfort that is demonstrated through your people. What a blessing. And we praise you for it. We pray that you would just speak to our hearts tonight and just help us to see something from your word that will help us along in our Christian life and in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is our prayer in his name. Amen. Tonight we want to come back to these verses for a few moments. The message this morning went in a little different direction than we've been taking in these verses, but it seemed that the Lord led that way. It seemed that the Lord gave permission to consider some of those things. I think they were important. And the thing that was the most important, I think, was to for us to think about the relevance of this book. What an incredible miracle it is, and what an incredible blessing and gift that it is to have a copy of the Word of God. Tonight we want to come back and continue to think about Saul's disobedience and how it relates to us and our living a life that is marked by holy conversation and godliness. That's the foundation stone of these messages. What manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness in light of the fact that the Lord is coming very soon? God told Saul exactly what he wanted him to do. He wanted Saul to go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And when God says all, he means all. He means man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Amalek, as Pastor Kelly taught us many years ago, is a picture of the flesh, the old nature and the people of God. And Amalek has to be utterly destroyed, beginning with man and woman. And we want to think about how these eight things, I always hate to give the number when you start a message, you know, like eight. And people say, okay, eight. And then they start counting. he's on number six. We're going to make it here. So, but we want to think about these eight things that the Lord told Saul to destroy. I think the men and women of Amalek in this context speak to us of the things that the sins which have grown up and come to full maturity in our lives. Men and women are adults. They've grown up. They're mature. And I think that those are the kind of things, those are the kind of sins that they speak to us of. Those things that we've practiced. Those things that we have indulged in for years. They have to be destroyed. But not only must the men and women of the Amalekites be destroyed, so must infant and suckling. And we read that and we think, well, what possible application can that have? I believe that infant and suckling speak to us of sins that are in their infancy in our lives. Sins that are in the beginning stages. Something that we may have just had a thought about today. Something that we may have just begun to entertain in our minds recently. Sins that are the offspring or the children of the things that we've practiced for years. You see, sin breeds. It multiplies in our lives. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Sin bears children in our lives, if you will. Every sin that has grown to manhood or womanhood in my life, in your life, began as an infant and a suckling. It began as a thought. It began as an idea. Something that at the time may even have seemed as harmless and innocent as a newborn babe. But look at it now. Think about the control that it has in our life, the domination that it exercises now that it has grown up into maturity and become entrenched in our thinking and become entrenched in our life. Every sin, no matter how small, even though it may appear as helpless as an infant or a suckling, must be destroyed. But the Lord didn't stop there. He said that the things that belonged and pertained to the Amalekites were to be destroyed. Ox and sheep, camel and ass. The ox in the Bible can speak of several things. It speaks of service. It speaks of laboring. It speaks of strength. And all of our service, all of our laboring that is done in the strength and in the energy of the flesh has got to be destroyed. God will not accept any labor or service that has its roots, or He won't bless any service that has as its roots and motives the flesh. The glorification of the flesh. But the ox also speaks to us of patience. And one of the most important things that we could ever destroy is our patience with sin. Our toleration of sin. One of the most powerful five-word messages that you'll find in the Word of God, you'll find in the book of Revelation, where the Lord wrote to the church, I believe it was Thyatira, and He said to them, thou sufferest that woman Jezebel. In other words, they tolerated Jezebel. They tolerated her sin. They tolerated her fornication. And in other words, they had patience with it, if you will. How many times do we tolerate sin in our life? We turn away from it. We turn a blind eye toward it. And we ignore it. We have patience with it. One of the things that we need to destroy in our lives as we deal with the flesh is our patience with sin, our toleration of sin. Another thing that we're to, another of the Amalekite things that we're to destroy, one of the things of the flesh, are the sheep. Sheep are interesting animals in the Word of God. And they have some very interesting characteristics. Sheep aren't very strong. They can't run very fast. And they aren't very smart. They stray very easily from the safety of the fold. And they're incapable of finding their own way back. They're defenseless animals. when it comes to their enemies. For all of those reasons, the Lord has chosen sheep to one of the things for them to be a symbol of is believers. Because all of these things are characteristics of those who are saved. We aren't very strong, we aren't very swift, we aren't very smart, we think we are. We have a tendency to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. We like to think of ourselves as strong and swift and intelligent, to think of ourselves as stable, to think of ourselves as being able to stand in our own strength against our enemies. And you know who our enemies are? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Those kind of sheep tendencies need to be destroyed. And then God said to destroy camel and ass. Camel and ass. Camels were unclean animals. We learned that back in Leviticus chapter 11. There, God is laying down the specific guidelines about clean and unclean animals. Clean animals were those who chewed the cud and they did something else. They parted the hoof. They divided the hoof. Chewing the cud is a picture of chewing and feeding and meditating on the Word of God. Taking it in and as a cow would do. It goes down into our stomach and we bring it back up and we chew on it again. That's how we're to do the Word of God. That is as good a definition of what it means to study as you'll ever find. It's to chew and meditate and wring out every bit of nutrients and nourishment that is in every Word of God. So chewing the cud is a picture of chewing and feeding and meditating on the Word of God. But not only do we need to chew and meditate or hear the Word of God, we need to allow the Word of God to have an effect in our lives. There needs to be a practical outworking of what we are reading and studying and taking in as nourishment. It needs to come out in the life. And so, pulling the hoof is allowing the Word of God to have a practical effect in our life. A practical effect to separate us from the world. To come out from among the world and be separate and to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather to reprove those things. That's what parting the hoof is all about. Allowing the Word of God to have this practical effect in our life. Now the camel was an interesting animal because it chewed the cud. It chewed the cud. But the camel did not divide the hoof. That's a characteristic of the flesh, you know. To read the Word of God, to be a hearer of the Word, to come to a chapter like 1 Samuel chapter 15 and there look into it and behold ourselves here. Behold our natural face in a glass and then go our way. Forgetting what manner of man or what manner of woman we are. Without allowing the Word to have any effect upon our lives. Without going from this place and parting the hoof in our life. Having a practical testimony to the people of this world. That's what the people of the world want to see. That's what they need to see. They may not want to see it, but they need to see it. A practical effect of the Word of God in our lives. This is the camel characteristic of our nature, to chew the cud, to sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," but not allow the Word of God to have any effect, practical effect in our life. That's why the Lord said that it needs to be utterly destroyed. An ass in the Scripture is a symbol of rebellious mankind. Rebellion is something that takes on many forms in our lives. But whatever the form it takes, it must be destroyed. But camels and asses can speak of something else. We want to think about that for just a minute. Both of these animals by nature are stubborn. Both of them by nature are ill-tempered. And both of them by nature are ungovernable as well as unclean. And in that sense, they speak to us of the worst of what we are by nature. That which is the worst, that which is the undesirable part of our nature. The stubbornness and the ill-temperedness and the ungovernableness that we have. And it's interesting that the Lord lists the camel and ass last among the things that need to be destroyed. And He does that not because they're unimportant. These things are not listed in order of importance. But it's the Spirit of God's way of teaching us a lesson, a very critical lesson about ourselves. What is it that we go after in our lives when the Lord says to us, be not conformed to this world? Or when He says, love not the world? What we go after is the camels and the asses. It's the bad things in our lives. The things that are vile and refuse, those are the things that we want to get rid of. That's what Saul did. In verses 8 and 9, we're told that he spared Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and he spared the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good. He destroyed the bad things and spared the good things. The only problem with that is God says there are no good Amalekites. There is nothing that pertains to the Amalekites that's good. That's a reminder of what Paul wrote in the New Testament, that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. There's nothing about the flesh that's worth saving. It all must be destroyed. You see, there's something that's very interesting here to me. When you really examine what Saul did, and you really get it down to the final analysis, all that he destroyed was the camels and the asses. What was different after his attack on the Amalekites? Those people were still alive. That's what we were talking about this morning. How when Saul made refugees out of the Kenites, when those Kenites left, there were among them the Amalekites, the terrorists, that went on to plague Israel for years. And we find the evidence of that. I think we looked at it last week, or maybe it was the week before. In 1 Samuel chapter 27, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, I know we looked at that passage this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 1, we mentioned 1 Chronicles chapter 4, all the way over in the reign of Hezekiah, you still are reading about the Amalekites. So Saul did not destroy man and woman, infant and suckling, because some of those infant and sucklings, no doubt, were the ones who were still plaguing the nation of Israel when they grew up in the reign of Hezekiah. So, Saul did not destroy man and woman, infant and suckling. Not all of them. The ox and sheep were still alive, according to verse 9. Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them. The ox and sheep were still alive. The only thing that is not mentioned in verse 9 is camels and asses. Because, folks, that's all that Saul destroyed, I believe, when you really get down to it. He destroyed everything that was vile and refuse. That he utterly destroyed among the Amalekites. Of those eight things that God listed in verse 3 that were to be destroyed. Man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Saul destroyed only two. Only two. 25% obedience. God says that's disobedience. Look at verse 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, notice this, and hath not performed my commandments. God saw 25% obedience as disobedience. But here's what's interesting. Notice how Saul viewed 25% obedience. Look at verse 13. Again, this is another case where it's very interesting that what we're going to read is in verse 13. 13, the number of rebellion. And here are Saul's words of rebellion couched in a deceptive heart that has deceived itself into thinking, I've been obedient to God. Look at verse 13. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Now, who are you going to believe? God said, Saul hath not performed my commandments. He saw 25% obedience as disobedience. Saul says, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. He saw 25% obedience as obedience. He saw being 25% obedient as being obedient to the Lord. And it's important to see that because what it shows us, how much we are exactly like Saul. How much we're exactly like him. And that's why he's here in the book. And that's why we've come here. As we think about that question, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And these are the things that are going to prevent us from having a holy conversation. These are the things that are going to prevent us from being godly people in our walk. Saul is here to show us ourselves. He's here to allow us to look into the perfect law of liberty that we might not be forgetful hearers, but that we might be doers of the word. That we might not only just chew the cud, but that we also might part the hoof. That's the message to those who are saved tonight. If you're here without the Lord, if you've never trusted Him as your Savior, the Bible makes it very plain that there is nothing that you are, there is nothing that you have that is good. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. We mentioned that verse this afternoon at the funeral. That we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We're full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. If you're lost tonight, that means that you're just like a camel and an ass. Like a camel, you may come here to this church. You may come here to the services. And you may chew the cud. You may sit there with a Bible on your lap. And you read along and you hear the messages. You sit and you listen service after service. And you hear the gospel, how that Christ died for your sins. And yet you've never parted the hoof. You've never taken the message of salvation personally. And applied it to your life. You know it in your head. You've never believed it in your heart. I think about that track. It's an old one. My dad used to throw tracks out as he rode down the road. Somebody would be walking. He threw tracks out. And one of them that he would throw out was called Missing Heaven by 18 inches. I see somebody smiling. By the way, he never got stopped for littering. And he got where he was pretty good with those things. Some of them, I've watched them, they would fly out of the car at 60 miles an hour, and they would float and float and float, and I've watched them land right at people's feet. Unbelievable. It didn't happen every time, but it happened a number of times. And sometimes people would pick them up, take a look at them. Sometimes they'd just walk right over them. But the point is, the message has got to get from the head to the heart. And that's why that track said missing heaven by 18 inches. That's about the distance from the head to the heart. You've never taken the message personally. You've never come to the Lord Jesus. You've never had a broken spirit. You've never come to Him with a broken and a contrite heart. You've never fallen at His nail-scarred feet and cried out from the depths of your soul for Him to be merciful to you, a sinner. The only way that you'll ever be clean is to chew the cud, hear the word, and part the hoof. Believe it in your heart. The Lord Jesus said in John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word," chewing the cud, "verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me," parting the hoof, believing the word, "hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." You know, condemnation was the fate of every ass that was born in Israel. And the only way that an ass could live was if it was redeemed by a lamb. See, if you're lost, not only are you unclean like a camel, you're condemned like an ass. Condemned from your birth. He that believeth not is condemned already. And the only way for you to live is to be redeemed by a lamb. And the wonderful message of salvation tonight is that God has provided that redemption because He provided Himself a lamb. The Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His life on the cross of Calvary. The Lamb of God. John saw Him walking and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He was sent into this world to purchase your redemption. Do you know Him as your Savior tonight? Have you passed from death into life? If we know Him, are we destroying the Amalekites? These eight things that we've been talking about. Man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. It's the key. It's the key to living a life of holiness. It's the key to living a life of godliness. It's the key to living a life that will count for eternity here in the last days. Father, we thank You for Your precious Word. We thank You for every word of God. And we pray that we might be those who chew it and wring out of it every bit of the spiritual nutrients that are there, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That we might grow up to maturity in the faith. That we might be those whose manner of life is holy. We might walk with a divided hoof, not a divided heart, but a divided hoof, separated from the world, set apart to the Lord Jesus Christ and for His glory. We pray that You would speak to the hearts of any here who are lost tonight, that they might cry out to You in this moment and trust You as their Savior. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.